I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me.
I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me. And I'm one with the Force.
Welcome to the Dharma of the Force, a podcast about the spiritual and philosophical side of Star Wars. If that puts you off, it's just words. And if you think that's all a bunch of mumbo jumbo, even better. We cannot widen our horizon and grow by never challenging what we believe, and we should always be suspicious of those who tell us what to believe. In some Buddhist traditions, listening to Dharma talks is a spiritual practice. It's not meant to give answers per se. It's an exercise in looking at questions and elaborating on them and finding the truth within yourself. So in that spirit, let us look at today's topic. They fly now? An apologist's explanation. In the New High Republic books, we have seen the Jedi doing crazy things, and I'll be honest, it put me off at first, no sugarcoating it. Star Wars doesn't owe me anything, and I don't expect everything to be nice and cozy inside my comfort zone, but it all seemed so very un-Star Warsy and too comic book Superman-y, so it made me think. Occupational hazard for the apologist. The High Republic is supposed to be the glory days of the Jedi Order, the noble ideal, right? So I came to the conclusion, for myself at least, some people call it headcanon, that we might need to take everything with a grain of salt. Just like the myths in our culture. Granted, the High Republic was only 300 years before Phantom Menace, but according to Star Wars, droids existed for thousands of years before, and Tarkin, who has seen them in action just a few years back, makes it sound as if the Jedi have been gone for generations. So time obviously works a bit differently in Star Wars. If we look at, let's say, Greek mythology, a lot seems very strange to us. Medieval knights also did some weird stuff, and legend has it that there were Indian yogis able to levitate. So what are we making of that? On one side, it's all simple tricks and nonsense, like martial arts shows for tourists.
Fake martial artists debunked.
Just think of the brittle planks being smashed by some kung fu masters, some faker laying down on a bed of nails, which might look impressive, but if you look at it closely, you will realize that the weight is distributed evenly and it's kind of no big deal. Or floating sages actually sitting on a small platform hidden in their canes. On the other side, there's observational bias, either due to misconceptions or misunderstandings or some sort of Chinese whispers in vocal traditions. Some people argue that the floating yogi refers more to the experience you yourself have, feeling as if you leave the body in deep meditation, which makes you feel elevated. And then there is, of course, the case of mistranslations that become accepted lore later on. The Bible, for example, is full of it. We now know that it's not the camel that goes through the eye of the needle, but a rope. Same meaning, less strange. Jesus didn't walk on water, but through the shallow water, and he wasn't born in a stable, but much rather a guest room. Does that undermine his teachings in any way or make him less of a person, prophet, or whatever he is to you? I don't think so. To you? It is not my intention to insult your belief if you're Christian, neither do I want to ridicule Jesus, not at all. It is undisputed that Jesus was an important and integral figure in some of the world's religions. I cannot remember right now if it was the Dalai Lama or some other Buddhist monk who, after reading Jesus' teaching, said, "Jesus has Buddha nature." And that is basically like saying the Force is strong in him. Some people even theorize that Jesus has had contact with Buddhist preachers in his formative years, for which there are no accounts in the Bible. Wouldn't be that crazy, given that there was a lot of exchange of goods and ideas via the Silk Road. But does it matter where spiritual awakening, quotation marks, or insight is coming from when it occurs? No. I'd like to refer to the many fairies that take you to the other side reference in the introduction episode. And of course, we see everything through our filter and compare it to what we already know. When the Spanish arrived in Mesoamerica, the Aztecs hadn't seen horses before. They called them stags or big dogs, depending on who you believe. And the first railroads were built and Native Americans didn't have a word for it. In Japan, train is still literally called an electric car. And that in itself is common for the word of wheel for car and lightning for electricity. So often we describe things in terms of how they correspond to what we already know. Arthur C. Clarke said, "Any technology, no matter how primitive, is magic to those who don't understand it." And in the case of the Jedi, that's not solely technological, but also spiritual. It takes a lot of time and effort to master the force. There are monks in Tibet that are so in tune with their bodies that they can regulate the body temperatures with dry, wet towels on their bodies out in the cold, snowy mountains of the Himalayas. That's not some mumbo jumbo that's scientifically documented. But it's not something you'll learn in an online class. It requires a lot of practice. So to those not able or willing to commit their entire life to this training, it might seem to be unnatural. To us, it might seem impossible, and that is why we fail to understand these concepts. Apart from all that, witness testimonies differ. We have seen Anakin and Obi-Wan jump from great heights. Does that make them levitate? For some witnesses, from some angles, it might. So if we treat the author's accounts as their testimony of events and allow for some observational bias, it relativizes things a bit. There are plenty of studies about that subject, and criminal prosecutors are well aware how unreliable witnesses can be. We either see what we want to see, or we don't pay attention, and our brain fills the gaps with the most likely scenario based on its Rolodex of available experiences. And then there is the tricky issue of implanted memories. We all usually have it. Childhood memories in which we sometimes even see ourselves from a third-person view, because it's not something we actually remember. It's been put there and labeled as memory based on external input, either photos or anecdotes. The human mind is easily tricked. I saw a ghost once, or maybe I didn't. I know well enough not to trust my eyes.
Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them.
Okay. Now that I opened the Pandora's box of weirdness, I feel I need to explain a little. I was in Scotland to visit the grave of Scottish folk hero Rob Roy, played by Liam Neeson in the 1995 movie of the same name, coincidentally. And while approaching the small and remote cemetery, I could have sworn I had seen someone near the entry of the small church there. To be honest, I was annoyed. It was drizzly and I was hoping for tranquility, and my first reaction, that doesn't really reflect well on me, was, "Ah, man, not even here in this weather you can be alone. Tourists everywhere." When we arrived, the parking space was empty and there was no back exit or something, and there was no one to be found. Seemed a bit strange, but we didn't pay much mind. Later that night at the hotel, I wanted to read up a bit about the area and stumbled across a legend of a ghost of a priest hanging out near the small church there. Turns out my wife also saw someone, but to her, he looked different. So okay, what happened here? Forced ghost, or maybe another case of the human mind tries to make sense of something unexplainable, like seeing faces in places, like seeing faces on the surface of Mars? We want to make sense of what we see, and we cling to plausible explanations. So to me, they don't fly now. They jump real high, and when they hover, so does Grogu's pram. Now please excuse me while I stick my head back into the sand. If you want to support me or this podcast, don't send money. I don't have a Patreon. Find a charity of your choosing and donate. And do yourself a favor and switch off your phone, disconnect, and just sit in silence for a few minutes. Close your eyes and
breathe. Just breathe.